Accession number 19051, Reel 3.
Tony Morton, Reel 3. So, what were your living conditions like in Korea?
Well, I was in the quartermaster stores, so I had comfort. We were all... except when we went up to Pyongyang with the tanks, when we were moving up, when we first went. It was nice and sunny and when we moved off. But overnight, the temperature dropped down to 20 below, and it was cold. No matter how you wrapped your feet up or your body, I still got a touch of frostbite with driving. With the truck driving, quartermaster's truck driving that. I got frostbite with that. No heat from the engine. It more or less freezing as you were driving. The roads were icy. Coming down the hills, the tank drivers, we could hug the road a bit inside, but when they come down, the tank wanted a touch of the stick and it was turned round, swizzled round. So they were coming down in first gear, and it takes them holding back. Tank going downhill. So in the truck we weren't so bad because we came back with the tanks, three tanks in front, and the soft trans vehicles in between. So we came back. We got as far as Suwon. Embedded down there. Cold because you slept in the trucks when you were out, didn't have time to do anything. And with B Squadron, because the tanks were just coming off the line, and because of the stabilizers, the 10 in 1 sights they had on the tank. We came right back. We came back to Busan and loaded our tanks and we went to Japan. We spent Christmas in Japan.
What was that like?
Oh, I'd go back tomorrow. Japan. The Japanese are... they had the old world charm, of course. A lot of spoke English. Of course, we were the victories, the victors, and but I admired the Japanese. Not as they fought as they had to do. Everybody does that. I admired the old charm they had. The manners, the etiquette, the respect, always the bowing. If you went for a meal, the first thing they'd do was a geisha girl would come and wash your hands with hot water and dry them. And then she'd serve you the food. And then she'd wash them before you went. She still had that old charm. As I say, I'm speaking as I found them. Now, the 14th Army, Burma lads, had a different outlook. You see, I thank God that I was never went to Burma, I say that. I don't think I could have stuck that.
But you were in Tokyo, were you?
Oh, Tokyo. Kyori, we were based in Kyori. We went to Tokyo, went to Hiroshima, Nagasaki. because we had about 3 weeks there. And once the A squadron and Cooper Force took a beating, they shipped us back to Koori, from Koori back to Pusan, and we went straight up, back up to the front, and done a bit of a push to get them back over the river, and then it was stalemate. Peace started to talk then. It was dragged on, which was bringing us up to October. And then the rumours of that we'd been relieved, which I couldn't understand, because usually when you went out, you stopped there till the war was finished. I was quite surprised when the 5th Skins landed and took over the stores. Then I started to box up the stuff for the Georgic, the ship we came home on.
What were the main problems you had doing your job in Korea?
I think, as I say, with nothing really happening as regards shots firing and shooting and all that, the place stunk. The whole smell of it was terrible. I wouldn't push on the Koreans. Rations going up. It was just the trouble of the axe. You pull in because it was quartermaster. I'd pick up the rations. And as those days, every officer was entitled to a bottle. And every officer on every side was entitled to a bottle of whiskey, gin. And of course, we had the rum issued. Men were entitled to two bottles of beer. That's if you could get it, which I could. Because I used to get the whiskey off to those who didn't drink. I would go and swap them for Yankee rations, the quartermaster there, the Yanks, or swap them for if one of the officers wanted a Yankee fur coat, I would say, well, one of you gives you a bottle, and I would go and bargain for the bottle. So, we got through that way. We had a good canteen. I seen that they had the drink, they had the dartboard, they had cards, something to occupy. We had the football pitch. We had footballs, which we took, which we bought out from the NAFI. When we were out of the line, they had a good time, as best as you could enjoy. But there was no such a thing as I read in the morning columns of the Korean papers. Water holes here, canteens there, and canteens there. And these lads now talk in our branch. I remember this place. Now, we with Terry Moore, the Ulster Rifles, and Eric Peters, the Argyles, and me, the Irish Hussars. We don't know any of this. This is all happened after. I'll switch off and I'll cough.
But when you were bartering with the Americans, if you had a bottle of whiskey to barter, what would they give you in return for one bottle of whiskey?
With the White Yanks, I could get $25 a bottle. With the Black Yanks, I could get $35. because they weren't allowed any. The Yanks weren't allowed any drink at all. They could get Coca-Cola or ice cream, but they were not allowed to touch whiskey. So we just, so if somebody was going on leave, they'd ask me, and I would go and barter. Unless I would get, because they had 4 days in Tokyo, I would get dollars for what they had.
But would you be able, would there be certain things that the Americans had that you wanted?
Oh, they had these fleece-lined jackets, didn't they? It just depends on the quartermaster. Even the troops. Oh, I take mine. I'll give you this and take his, like the Air Force flying pilot's jackets. And they were lovely and warm. Lamb's wool and everything.
Why were you not so keen on the Koreans?
Couldn't rely on them.
You couldn't what?
Couldn't rely on them. It was rather strange. I think it was a bit weary of, because they were under Japanese rule for so long, so you never really knew what was happening. I just feel that, they were great. Although we employed Koreans, boys, as to brush up and everything in the mess, and we had a woman in the stores, the quartermaster stores, who was so on the tapes and the flashes and all that. So we had to have those too, to get there to sew on. They were good. And with the winter woolens I had, woolen pullovers, when we took them off in winter, like coming up for the summer, I would give this woman a couple of jackets, a couple of jerseys, and she'd unravel it. And she knitted a couple of cardigans. So a couple of officers went over with the cardigans knitted. And you should give her odd food. They're very poor, of course. But a pound of rice will last them a month effort, you know. But I was... it was a strange war. It's like a dream. Like in the desert, you knew. Out there, nobody knew.
In Korea.
Well, you didn't know exactly where the enemy was. You didn't know who was giving the orders. There was no information coming through. It was all, well, what do we do? It wasn't, and because it was the first United Nations to. I think there was a bit of jealousy over not taking orders off him, or this and that. They amalgamated together very nicely, which it seems to be working now with the Kosovo effort. It's a good thing. I'm very pleased with it, and I'm pleased to know that it was. I was one of the first to be in the first United Nations force. At least if the United Nations, not the United Nations, what they used to call it before the war, had done exactly the same as they've done now, we would have had no Italy.
The League of Nations.
That's what I would have thought. We would have nothing like that. I was very, very pleased about that. That it was through us that the United Nations is working. And it'll save a lot of trouble if they could stick together.